Life Point Church, how are we doing this morning? All right. Well, I'm glad that each of you are here. I'm glad. I don't know about you all, but I'm glad you're here. Man, just thank you all so much for choosing Life Point Church to be your place of worship this morning. I say this from time to time, but it's the truth. There are so many different churches in Louisville, even in the Butuel area, Barstown Road area, that you could go to. The fact that you're here, man, I'm excited to have you here to do life with you. And we love you all and just are thankful that you're here. Today, we're kicking off a new message series about something that's been on, honestly, my heart for quite a while. For me personally and my personal life, as well as for our church. And we're going to talk about prayer. Now, if you've grown up in the church at all, you've probably prayed a lot. You've prayed out of a feeling of you have to. Someone's guilted you or shamed you into praying. And sometimes you've prayed because you didn't know what else to do. You've just been at wit's end. And sometimes some of you have prayed because you just want to have that intimate relationship with God. But prayer is so key and so important in our lives as followers of Christ. So what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks is we're going to be focusing in on some of Paul's prayers for the early church that he prayed. And when he prayed these prayers, he was actually explaining to us and showing us why we should pray. Like, why pray? I know at different points of time in life, people have asked that question to other people, to themselves. Does prayer really matter? Does it really change things? Are we actually able to change the heart of God and his plans through prayer? What's the purpose? Just why pray? And Paul answers that for us in a variety of different passages and prayers that he prays for the early church. And so ultimately what I hope for in this series and pray for is that for us as individuals and for us as a church, that we would understand the importance of prayer, the role that it plays in our lives and in our ministries and in our mission, and learn that we can both pray with passion and with power. And I hope that through this series we would learn to do just that, to pray with passion and power and boldness and confidence. And as a result, that our relationship with God would grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And as a church, we'd be able to do more and more for the kingdom, right? To reach more people. Because again, that's why we exist. If that's not what we're doing, it's not what we're about, close the doors. Because I don't want to be about it. So that's what it is. And we need prayer. We need to be in communion and with God constantly. So let me just ask this, and if you're on Instagram and you follow LifePoint, you saw this video, and this question. But how many of you would be honest this morning and say that you actually believe in the power and the importance of prayer, yet you just don't pray like you probably should? Right. I mean, all of us. If you raised your hand, you're in great company, because that is me. I believe in the power of prayer. I mean, I'm a pastor, right? I have to. Supposed to, right? But at times, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to constantly pray. I mean, we believe that God hears our prayers. We believe that we have a loving God who wants to answer those prayers. And yet, sometimes we just don't do it. We get too self-absorbed or self-focused or too busy or whatever it may be, but we don't pray like we should. And again, there's a variety of reasons for this. A variety. Maybe for you, you feel like you just really don't know how to pray. Or you wonder always, like, am I doing it right? You know, you get really, like, just confused about prayer, or should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And then so as a result, you just kind of sidestep prayer altogether and just say, I don't know. I'm just not going to mess with it. Or maybe you get distracted really easy. This is one of my biggest struggles. You get distracted. You start praying, and then next thing you know, you hear a car pass by. You're like, oh, what kind of car was that? You know, or someone says something. You hear something from the other room. You're like, oh, I got to check out what that is. When in reality, you never would if you were doing something else, but you just get distracted. I know for me, my ADD mind just like starts jumping from thought to thought to thought sometimes while I'm trying to pray and I'm trying to focus in my relationship with God and connecting with him? Or how many of you all have ever laid down in bed at night and started to pray and have fallen asleep praying? How many of y'all? Right. I do that all the time. I still have yet to figure out whether that's like super spiritual or super disrespectful. I don't quite know yet. I know if I was mid-conversation with my wife and I fell asleep, she would think that was disrespectful, not super great. But I don't know. But maybe you just get distracted. Or maybe for you, you find yourself in this comparison game, constantly comparing yourself to other people, the way you look, your career, how much money you make, and even your relationship with God, your spirituality. And so when you see someone else that has this incredible prayer life, you just get really intimidated and you just give up because you're like, man, I'll never be on that level. So why even try? Or maybe for you growing up, prayer was always done in this big, like fancy old English language way, all the these and the thouists and all this. And you didn't even know what the heck they were saying half the time. So you're like, well, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't know how to say that, so I can't pray that way. Or maybe their prayers are just smooth, man. Like, I know, I've got those people in my life that they'll start praying and I'm just like, I'm not even focused on what's being said. I'm just, bro, they can straight bring it. Like, their prayer is phenomenal. We were just a little over a week ago, Daniel and I were in a conference with our denomination, and this woman started praying at the end of one of the services, and it was just the most genuine, real, authentic prayer. It was like almost like I shouldn't have been listening, because it was just this intimate conversation with God. It was so smooth and beautiful. And sometimes for you, that could be an overwhelming and intimidating thing. And so you don't pray because you don't think you could be on that level. But whatever the reason is, we know the importance of prayer. If that's all I came up here and said was like, hey, prayer's important. All right, let's go. Let's leave. Y'all would be like, okay, I knew that. But the fact is, every single one of us raised our hand, stating that we don't pray like we should. That's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem in our relationship with God. And to be honest, that's a problem in our church right now. We need to understand the power and the importance of prayer. So what I want to do over the next 4 weeks, again, is I want to allow God to teach us and shape us and mold us into praying with passion and power. And we're going to use God's word to help us see that. We're going to see the example of Paul and his prayers on how to actually pray with power and passion. And to kick things off this morning, I want to show you real quickly two of the major prayer mistakes that we make. A lot of us fall into this trap. I know throughout my life this has been one of some of the biggest traps I've fallen into. And what it is two major prayer mistakes that we make. The first one is that our prayers are often too small. They're just too small. And we're talking to the creator of everything. And we're bringing these little small prayers, like we don't have faith that he can actually do something. So we don't want to give him something too tough. It's a mistake. Many times our prayers are too small. And the second is that our prayers are often too general. Right? We don't get specific with God. And a lot of times that comes as a result of maybe growing up in some of that, honestly, that shame and blame culture where you just have to pray. Like, I've learned to pray the most incredible general prayers ever so that I can check prayer off my good Christian list. And I took something weak and not specific to God, something small and something general. And that's not what he wants from us. Honestly, I would think he's probably pretty frustrated with that. Like, seriously, you think that's all I can handle? That's it? That's all you're going to bring? Like, I think he wants us to bring those prayers or bring those things that he knows that only he can do, and that when he does it, it's showing off his glory, his power. And it's powerful to other people that don't know Christ when they see that. When they see that thing that only God can do, and he makes it happen. But many times we don't pray for it. We pray for things that are too small and too general. For example, how many of you have ever and pray, God, I pray that you would bless me or that you would bless somebody else. Anybody ever prayed that? Yeah, I have. I look around. Look at your house or your apartment. Got a roof over your head. You got food. I don't think anyone in here is not going to eat today because they can't. And if that is the case, because I know there are those people in our community, if that is you, come see me after the service. We're going to help because that's what we're here for. But man, we are truly blessed. Yet we say, God bless me. A lot of times we don't acknowledge the blessing we already have. Or we say things like, God, be with us today. Would you be with me today? Well, if you crack open the Bible, you'll read that he says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. He's right there, yet we're saying, be with us. That's an easy win. He's already there. Small, not specific, general prayers. Like, come on, man, give me something tough. Give me something real that only I can do. You see, God could do so much more in your life and in our church if we would just have the courage and the faith to ask, to trust God and believe him for big, big things. So as we begin this series, I really want to encourage you and challenge you just to focus on that over the next several weeks. Again, if you get nothing else out of anything I say today, begin to pray big and specific prayers, because general prayers don't lead to specific action. I mean, it's the truth. General prayers don't lead to specific action. Just like if I give you a general task, it's not going to necessarily lead to a specific action or the action maybe that I'm looking for, because I was real general. Nothing specific. Didn't give you the details. Didn't really trust you. So I'm going to say, hey, do this little thing, because I don't trust that you can do the big thing, and just kind of get out of my way. That's how we treat God, which is crazy. We've got to trust him with big and specific prayers. That's why James, in the book of James, in the New Testament, he says that we do not have, because why? Anybody? Right, because we don't ask. We don't have because we don't ask, because we don't trust God for big and specific things. I heard a story from another pastor about Martin Luther, and you know, the father of the Reformation. And during his time, while he was in the middle of trying to reform the church, he had a friend whose name was Friedrich Myconius. And he was kind of his right-hand man, like his assistant through all this. And he ended up becoming extremely, extremely ill. And he wrote Martin Luther this letter, kind of as a farewell letter, because he was dying. Like, he had lost his ability to speak. Like, he was going downhill quick. And he wrote him this letter, like this farewell, goodbye letter. But man, Luther wasn't having that. He wasn't having it at all. And instead of saying a safe little prayer like, you know, God, just give him peace in his passing. You know, help those around him to be comforted. Good prayers. But that's not what he did. He prayed big and specific prayers. And then he actually took it a step further and wrote his friend, Friedrich, a letter telling him what he prayed for. And I'm going to read you a piece of that. This is what Martin Luther wrote. He says, I command thee in the name of God to live, because I still have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this I am praying, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Big, specific prayer. Not only that he would live, but that he said, I'm praying that I will never hear that you passed, because that you will live longer than me. Not just that he would be sustained for a little longer, but you know, succeed him in life. And that's actually what happened. He miraculously had this health turnaround. He lived. He actually lived 6 more years after this. Was on his deathbed, then lived 6 more years, and actually lived 2 months longer than Martin Luther did. His prayer was answered. And I believe one of the reasons is because he had faith. He was bold. He believed that God was going to do something incredible. And then you notice in the last thing he said, in his letter, in that little piece that I read, he said, I'm praying this because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Not to glorify himself, but to glorify the name of God, because that was only a God thing. Only God could allow him to come from his deathbed and live another 6 years. And he got real specific by saying that I'll never hear that you passed. And that too came true because of the power of God. Because he had faith big enough to believe that all things were possible with him. So throughout this series, we're going to learn to pray this way, to pray with power, belief, boldness, big, specific prayers. And to help us with this, we're going to look at four different texts in the New Testament that was written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul, what he kind of did, you know, he was Saul before this. You know, he was out there, he was a rough dude. You know, his life, he was out there murdering and persecuting Christians. Then had an encounter with God, changed his life radically, and then began to go out and preach the name of Jesus. He went from city to city, and he started churches, and then he would build them up, right? He'd build them up, and then he would leave, and then go start another one. He was like the first church planter, right? He was going all over the place, and then he would write these letters back to them to encourage them, or if he heard that they were, you know, struggling with some things, like he was keeping it real, and he'd write these letters to them, and that is really what makes up a large majority of the New Testament. And so when we read these, in these letters, we see some of his prayers that he was praying for these churches and for God's people. And in that, we find why pray, why we should be praying, why this is important. And not only just that, but how we should pray. I mean, he really breaks this down for us. And we see that over and over again, he prayed with kind of this same pattern. And that's really what we're going to focus on, this pattern throughout this series. He would say, I pray. Then he would kind of line out what he was praying for, his petition, his request. And he would say, so that, and then state why he was praying. Like, what was the purpose? They were bold, big, and specific prayers. And he really broke them down that way. So he would say, I pray for this so that this would happen. He gave us what we should pray for, how we should pray for it, and the why we should pray. They were big and specific prayers. So why pray? Well, the first account that we're going to look at is found in Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul was writing some specific prayers to the church of Ephesus, where he had helped plant that church, started it, built it up, and then moved on. And he said this in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This is where we're going to start. We're going to read from there on through the rest of the chapter, but we're kind of, or throughout that, yeah, that chapter, and we're going to break it down a little bit. And he starts off with this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So he kind of starts off there, right? And it's real easy for us to then become legalistic when we read things like this, right? Because, well, Paul said, I kneel before the Father, so I have to kneel when I pray. False. You can. I think there's value in that at times. I think, you know, I kneel down and pray from time to time as a way of humbling myself before God, an act of submission, but that's not the only way you can pray. Like, we can't take that and get super legalistic with it, because you can pray in any position, right? You can pray walking down the road or walking around your neighborhood. You can pray sitting, standing. If you have small kids, you can pray in the only, like, place of solitude that you have, which is the shower. That's it. Maybe, if you're lucky. It's the only place of solitude you have. But you can pray in the shower. You can pray laying down. You can pray driving down the Waterston Expressway. I do that a lot for specific reasons and specific things. Sometimes they are very bold. But you can pray in any position. Anyway, the importance is that you pray to come before the Father. He says, for this reason, I kneel before my Father. In verse 16, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Then why? Verse 17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I want you to hear this. He says, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is the first time that we kind of see this pattern, right? He prays for something, so that, and then he gives the why. Basically, he's saying, I pray that God will strengthen you with power. And not just human power. I pray that God would strengthen you with his power, with God's power, with an immovable power, a power that cannot be squashed, the power of God. And every single one of us who claim the name of Jesus, that have professed our faith in him, understand that you have that power. You have access to that infinite power of God. Yet so many of us don't tap into it. And it makes no sense. We have all authority and all power in the name of Christ because of him, not because of us, because of him. And he gives that to us and we don't tap into it. It'd be like having like $300,000 or $400,000 in your bank account and not paying your bills. If you heard that, if someone said, man, I'm really struggling, my house is being foreclosed on, you know, my car just got repoed, and I'm just struggling. And you were like, well, I mean, can you not afford it? No, man, I got like $500K in the bank. What are you doing? You're just wasting it. That's exactly what we're doing as believers when we don't tap in to the power of God, to his strength, to his power, and to his authority. We're just pissing it away. I can't think of anything else to say. I mean, that's what we're doing. Paul says, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He continues verse 17. He says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love will surpass knowledge, that love will surpass all understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How many of you would say this morning that you would long to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? I mean, it's a no-brainer to be filled to the measure. I mean, think of what your life would look like if you truly received the power of God and you lived from the power of God. That you were filled to the measure, to the top, fully filled with the fullness of God and his love and his grace and his mercy and his power and his authority and all the things that he offers us. How different would your life look? How different would the lives of the people around you look? How different would your family look? Your job, your coworkers, everything would be radically changed if we could just tap into this. We have access to it. Many times we don't receive it, we don't tap into it. We just sit back and we see someone that actually is, and we're like, man, they seem to have something that I don't have. Like they have this peace, I don't get it. Even when they go through tough times, they're smiling. Or they're able just to honestly work through it and say, I'm broken, I'm hurt, or I'm struggling with this. And then they receive healing from it. And then they keep going forward. They have like this beautiful balance of humility and confidence and boldness. They got something spiritually that I just don't seem to have. And maybe it's because you don't have it. Maybe you've never stepped over that line of faith and received Christ. But I think there's also many times that those of you that have, man, you're just not tapping into it. You're not really receiving it. You're not really believing it. You've got it, but you're just pushing it to the side. It could be that you're not tapping into what's available to you. You don't yet have this supernatural understanding of God's love. And it has to be a supernatural understanding because our human minds, we can't understand God's love. It doesn't make sense to us naturally. The fact that he forgives us, the fact that he gave his son for us, the fact that he loves us in spite of everything that we do. Our natural minds would say, okay, I've done this, 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 and this, and this, and this. Why would God love me? But he does. And it takes him to reveal that to us and for him to help us to understand that. That's why Paul says he prays that you would be rooted and established in love. And may the power of that love, may you fully grasp it. May you fully grasp the love of Christ. Because he knows that in order for you to truly receive his power, to pray bold prayers, specific prayers, you have to be rooted in God's love. You have to understand it. And the only way we can understand it is for him to reveal that and for us to receive it. That we would be filled to the measure with God's power and love. How different would your life look? You have access to it. See, when you do that, you understand that your approval doesn't come from other people, which is a game changer in 2019. I can sit up here and say that. You can hear that. You can believe that. You can know that. But we struggle with that. I know this. Personally, I know that my worth, my value, my everything is who I am in Christ. And I don't have to worry about measuring up to some other human standard. I just have to focus on Christ. Yet I do. I worry what other people think far too often. I get caught up in that comparison game. I get caught up in the social media game. And I get caught up in all that. Or who's doing this? Who has this? I mean, it's crazy. Just Friday, I was out at golf lessons with Sawyer out at Persimmon Ridge. Very nice golf course. I really have no business being out there. But we're out there, and I'm talking to this just incredible guy, young dude, 2 or 3 years younger than me. He's an awesome guy. We start talking. He tells me he goes to church in Louisville somewhere. We start talking about it. And then I'm like, well, are you a member at a club somewhere? He's like, yeah, we're members of Valhalla. Oh, right on. But we live in Glen Oaks. We play there sometimes too. Oh, right on. Cool. We talk a little more, we walk to our cars, I walk to my 07 Jeep Compass, he walks to his, looks probably, I don't know, 2018 Range Rover. And immediately, I start to think, man, that would be awesome. It'd be so cool if I was a member at Valhalla. It'd be awesome to have that type of money and to live in that neighborhood. And then I just started going into this whole comparison thing, and it's crazy. It's insane how trapped we get in that. And we know that it's not healthy for us, and we know that it's not right. Again, whether you're a Christ follower or not, you know that that's not healthy, but we fall victim to it. And the beautiful thing is we have the power of God and his love. And if we tap into that, we will then truly understand it's not about measuring up to anyone else. We don't have to compare ourselves to anybody else. Because when God looks at us because of Jesus and what he did, he sees a beautiful, beautiful thing, a perfect thing. His masterpiece, right? His creation, his joy. so we don't have to try to measure up. But it takes us to understand and receive the power of God, to operate and be rooted in his love. Because when we do that and we're filled to the measure, everything changes. Everything does. And as we do that, I mean, then we really do experience that peace that goes beyond all understanding. When we're going through it, when we get bad news, or when we're just having a tough time, we have a peace that we can't explain. When someone wrongs us or hurts us, we're able to forgive and receive healing from that and move forward. We become more loving. We become more generous. We get clarity and direction in our life. When those thoughts start creeping in about comparing to someone else and be like, I wish that we had this material thing and this, or I wish I was doing this and this and that, he stops that and says, no, I love you. I've given you power and I've put you in a specific place to do beautiful things that I created for you to do, and it's perfect. So just stay connected to me and all will be well. That's what's important. When we tap into that power and we're rooted in his love and we fully understand it, we can experience that power and that love, and then we can begin to pray bold and specific prayers. You begin to radiate his love. You live differently. You love differently. You connect with people differently. You have healing from that loneliness, fear, doubt, insignificance, not measuring up. You get healing from that. The love and the power of God changes everything. And when we receive it, bold and specific prayers aren't too far off, because we believe that God can do anything. Anything. Check out how Paul wraps this thing up in verse 20 and 21. It's kind of almost like this anthem. He says, now to him, to Christ, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Just kind of pausing right there. He's praying that they would receive power, strengthened in God's power, and that they would be rooted in his love. And see, when we get to that point, we know that he can do more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's what leads to bold and specific prayers, understanding and believing that according to his power that is at work within us. And then he goes on to say, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Bold, powerful, specific, faith-filled prayers that Paul is praying for the church. He prays that they would receive power, that they would tap into it, they'd be rooted in love, because he knows that once that happens, they're unleashed. Nothing can stop them because they're operating in the power of God, not in their own power, not in anyone else's power, in the power of the living God. So this morning, for those of you that are Christ followers, are you truly tapping into his power in your life? Are you really tapping into his power? Are you rooted in his love? Do you view yourself as God views you? Or do you view yourself as something different? A mess, not worthy. Failure. Tap into his power. It'll change everything. Be rooted and understand his love. Then as a result, have the faith to pray big and specific prayers for yourself, if needed, for your family, for your circumstances. Those are all great. But even think outside yourself, for your neighbor, for your community, for your church, for your enemies. Hello. Big, bold, specific prayers. That's what Paul was praying for the church. That's what he's praying for you. So just as Paul prayed today, pray that God would, through his glorious riches, man, would strengthen you with his power so that you would be unleashed. Tap into it. Don't just have it sitting there and ignore it, putting it on the shelf. Tap for you, God. That's something we take for granted so often. The fact that we can pray, that we can come boldly to your throne and make requests, celebrate, worship you, and praise you, and then hear a response from you, God. To be in your presence is so humbling and so beautiful, so powerful. And we thank you for that. And God, as we conclude our service today, God, and close out in some worship here in a few minutes, God, during this time, Lord, may we reflect truly on what we're doing with you in our lives. For those of us who have come to know you as Savior, God, may we search ourselves right now, God, and actually think about whether or not we're living from your power and your authority and your love. Or are we just claiming your name and living how we want to live under our own power and authority? God, I pray that you would speak to us. And may we hear you. And make changes. And celebrate and worship you. And live from your power and the authority that you give us, God. And we're so thankful for that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not living from the power and the authority of God because you don't know him as your Savior. Maybe you've gone to church for a long time, heard the words, jumped through the hoops because you were told to, or you thought you had to. Maybe this morning God is revealing to you that you've never really believed. You've never really stepped over that line of faith. You've never said, God, I need you. And I believe you are who you say you are. And given your life to him, to serve him the best that you can through his power and his mercy and his grace and his authority and his love. You've never stepped over that line of faith. And if that's you this morning and he's speaking to you, respond. Just respond. Call out to him the best way that you know how. Again, it's not, I say this all the time, it's not a prayer, it's not special magical words that you pray that save you. It's your heart connecting with the heart of God. It's you believing that he is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was who he said he was, that he died and rose again for you so that you could be saved and eternally connected to him. It's confessing and believing that you have flaws and failures, and that God, through Jesus, takes all that away. If that's your heart, just tell him that. You just do business with God with that, and he promised that when you confess and believe, that you're a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things are new, and you are eternally connected to him, made right before the Father through Jesus. So if you haven't, man, you received that this morning. So as Jared and the team play, you just do business with God however he leads. Whether it has to do with prayer or receiving his power and his love and living from that, whether it be receiving him as Savior, or maybe it's something totally different. That's okay, because God is that big. And he knows what you need. So if he's speaking that to you this morning, you just respond. You just do business with God during